Well, good afternoon to everyone. Good to see you. Take your Bibles and turn over to Colossians chapter 3. In the third chapter of Colossians, we've been talking about putting off the old man and the ugliness and things of the world like fornication, uncleanness, evil passions, covetousness, idolatry, malice, blasphemy, anger, filthy language, not lying, putting all that off. That is disrobing. That is, the idea is spiritually to take it off, throw it away. And last week we talked about putting on some new garments. We talked about the new things that we ought to be putting on, such as peace and joy and contentment and humility and tender mercy and kindness and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, not complaining against one another, but be filled with love. And in so doing, the peace of God would pass over all of us and come into and rule our hearts. And then, as we've just got through singing, whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. It's actually a good place to begin our thoughts and study together. We got down through verse 17 last Sunday evening. I'd like for us to begin reading with verse 18 of Colossians chapter 3, where it states, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service or men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." I thought what I'd ask is, how do you like what you got on this afternoon? Physically, that is. You can take a look at yourself. You did probably spend a lot of time in the mirror. Maybe some of us didn't spend as much time as we needed to, but, just take a look. What do you think of what you have on? You say it's okay? You look pretty good? Have you ever had someone to say, "You're not going out of this house looking like that. I would be ashamed of you going out looking like that. I can't believe you want your friends to say, but Mama, they all look like, well, I don't care what they look like. If they all jumped off the mountaintop, would you jump with them?" You know, mothers have a way of saying things like that. So, how do you like the way you look? Now, let's lay aside what you look like physically and what you're dressed in this afternoon. Let me ask you right now, how well are you dressed spiritually? There's a big difference. Though I do believe that if our hearts and attitudes are where they need to be, that we will never be dressed physically in an inappropriate way. You believe that? It really is attitude. That if my attitude is what it's supposed to be, I will never dress in such a way that will shame, listen to this, shame my God. Not talking about your parents, but that would shame my God. In this passage that we just read, the Apostle Paul, again, keep in mind, this is coming from the heart of God. Paul just wasn't sitting around one Monday morning and thought, you know, I think I'll write about relationships. I think I'll just pull out of my head what I think is right, and I'll just write it to the brethren of Colossae, and whatever I say, then they need to accept it. That's not it at all. He's going to talk about, in particular, five different relationships. And as you think about it, I want you to understand that when we react and act and clothe ourselves, and that's what we're really looking at, as we clothe ourselves properly by putting on those things of righteousness, when we clothe ourselves properly, then we're going to have the best husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, and as much as within our power, we're going to have an excellent relationship as far as being an employer or an employee. The reasons a lot of times Christians get into trouble is because they're undressed. They're naked. They don't have on the proper clothing in these different relationships. It is oftentimes that what we see is that a person will be kinder and nicer to a rank stranger than people that are in their own families. They're nicer to somebody else's wife. They're nicer to somebody else's husband. They're nicer to somebody else's children. They're nicer to somebody else's parent. They're nicer to somebody else's boss, somebody else's employees. These things that Paul is going to have us look at are not placed there to make it hard on us. They're there to make us have a good relationship, first of all, with God and all others as much as possible. And I want to say this from 68 years of observation. Well, let's give me a year or two off because I didn't know much at two or three. Some folks may not think I know much at 68, but that's another story. And that is what I have observed in my time, especially since I started preaching the gospel, is that the man and woman who dress appropriately, are you with me? Who dress appropriately by putting on those things of righteousness, that they normally have the best husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, master-slave or employer-employee relationship. Now, if you will be honest with yourself, you will have to say the same thing. Now, that doesn't mean that those people who have finally got to where they want to be, that they didn't have trouble along the way. But what they have done throughout their lifetime is that they've continued to weed out those things of the world, those things that are keeping them from being everything that they need to be. Again, what Paul wanted by inspiration from God, what Paul wanted to do, as we read in Colossians 1 and verse 20, he wanted to be able to present all man perfect in Christ. And we can present all man perfect in Christ in every relationship if we will do what we're supposed to do. Oftentimes in a husband-wife relationship, I'm afraid it goes something like this. If she does better, I'll do better. If he does better, I'll do better. Mom and dad do better, I'll do better. If children do better, I'll do better. If the boss treats me better, I'll treat him better. And what we've done is much like what Saul did this morning as we were looking in Samuel. We want to blame everybody else for who we are or who we're not being. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want you to miss that. I don't want you to miss it at all. As a Christian, as a child of God, as you deal with your husband, as you deal with your wife, as you deal in all these other relationships, there's a way in which God expects you to be. And if you're not that, then you're going to be rejected. That's just as plain can be. That's not coming from me. That's coming from this text. It's coming from God. God says, you know, I told you to take all these things off. I want you to take all that ugliness, fornication, adultery, and all filthy language and other things. I want you to take those off. I want you to throw them away. I want you to get rid of them. And now what I want you to do is I want you to put on some new clothes. And when you put on those new clothes, I want people to be able to walk up to you and say, isn't that a new way in which you're now dealing with things? Notice I didn't say isn't that a new dress or new suit. There seems to me that something has come over you, that you're now doing something different that you haven't been doing in the past. Every one of us can learn a great deal from this text. First of all, he says, well, let's first of all define responsibility. Responsibility is defined as a being responsible, obligation, a thing or person that one is responsible for. The idea is that we need to respond in a certain way because of our relationship with these other people. And he starts off, first of all, talking about the wife. Now, women were created. They were created for a particular reason. And a woman who doesn't understand this will never get this right, and she'll never be clothed properly. I want you to turn over with me to 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy, I'd like for us to read verse 13 and 14. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, all of these passages are passages that you have read time and time again. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8 and 9. For the man is not for woman, but woman from man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. A woman was created to fill a void, to fill a vacuum. There was something lacking in God's creation. And the thing that was lacking was one who would be comparable to the man, like him in some ways, but yet entirely unlike him in so many other ways. It is interesting that when Eve was created, that Adam said this in Genesis chapter 2 and there verse 23, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she came out of man." He now has someone like himself, as I said. Not only like himself, but yet so much different. He had nothing to compare her with. There is nothing else to compare her with at all. There was not another woman to compare her with. She was truly woman. She was his... Are you with me? She was his wife. And when we say "I do," we need to understand what we're saying "I do" to. We're saying "I do" that this is my wife. We're saying this is my husband. I do. They are mine. We belong to each other. The highest ambition that a woman should be able to identify with is that she fulfills the purpose for which she has been created. And let me tell you, you may excel in so many different areas. You may be the CEO of a company. You may be able to ride on a plane every week going back and forth to some other place. Everybody may be singing your praises about how good you are in a particular work. But there's no higher calling for a woman than that of, first of all, being a wife. That is your first primary responsibility, of being a counterpart to your husband, being the wife. And the second thing is similar but different, and that is motherhood. That is bringing into this world individuals of likeness, bringing babies into this world, and being the mother of that child. You know, there's one thing that the world will never forgive. You just watch. There's one thing that the world has never forgiven a woman for being, and that is a poor mother. But actually, if we did it right according to the Scripture, there should be another thing, and that is when she's a lousy wife. When she is not the helpmeet, when she is not the counterpart to that of her husband. There's no product at the hands of God that is more beautiful than a woman when she understands where God has placed her. And almost at every funeral where this woman has been a godly woman, one of the things that preachers in particular like to read is Proverbs chapter 31. Where it talks about all the things that she has been able to accomplish in her life. But the greatest accomplishment is when her husband and children would rise up and call her blessed. Let me tell you something, ladies. If your husband and your children can't rise up and call you blessed, then there's something wrong with what you're wearing. And I'm not talking about the skirt or the blouse that you might be wearing. I'm talking about there's something in your makeup that is not correct. There's something that you have failed to put on. And it's not profitable because you have not put it on. God intended from the very beginning that woman's primary responsibility and function was to be a helper, to help her husband. Women excel the most when she understands that that's where God has placed her in this relationship. But it goes on in the text and says, as it gets past the idea of wife, it says, submit to your own husband as fitting in the Lord. Submit. It's interesting, the term submit was never intended to be an ugly or mean word. It was never a word that meant that man could smile and say, you got to do everything I say. And it was never meant for the woman, when she hears the word to submit, to frown and say, I ain't going to do it. I don't care what he says. I'm not his doormat. I'm not his personal slave or a lot of other things. There are many passages in Scripture. 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 15. 1 Corinthians 11. Titus 2, 5. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. All of those passages talking about subjection. You know, this is not a text that says that a woman is inferior to man. Let me tell you something. She is neither mentally or spiritually inferior to her husband. She has been assigned a particular role. Now get this. She has been assigned a particular role by God. And listen to this. And God only. Man didn't decide that he wanted to be over the woman. God has said, this is what I want. I'm creating a family unit. And what I want is that I want a woman that is going to be a helper to the man that I have created. I want her to be submissive to him. I want her to bring children into the world. And I want her to teach them how that they are to conduct themselves. I don't care how smart you are, ladies. The only time you really show yourself smart, you may have a higher IQ than your husband. There's nothing wrong with that. But I don't care how high your IQ is, your first duty is to the man that you said I do to. I think I've told you the story before about a professor I met some years ago, and she was speaking at the graduation of my daughter's high school graduation. And she had excelled. And she said, I have all of these, and she did. I mean, you'd almost need an extra paper to put all the stuff the girl had excelled in. But she said, I've got all these things after my name. But the greatest thing to me is what I have in front of my name, and that is MRS. And I'm thankful that my husband years ago chose me to be his wife. And that's the greatest thrill that I have. And the greatest piece of paper that I have are not all those degrees that are hanging on the wall. But it is the marriage ceremony that tells you that I have been married to this man and just exactly how much he means to me. The wife is to voluntarily be willing to function under the leadership of her beloved husband. What if he's not beloved? What if there is something else that's there? It still is a voluntary, loving self-submission. You know, there's sometimes when people talk about, yes, my husband is ahead, but I turn it. Ladies, if you've ever been guilty of saying that, you've just sinned. Did you hear what I said? He may be the head, but I'm the one who turns it. Now, we laugh at things like that. It is not a laughing matter. We must understand that God did this. I didn't do it. You know, if it were given to me to do, I probably would say we need equality. We don't need somebody as the head. We can just walk side by side. That's not what God said. He said, someone's going to have to be the head of this relationship, and I choose man. And we're not going to let him slide by any way, shape, or form, myself either. And it's interesting that it says, as is fitting in the Lord. This is not Paul's opinion being expressed. Sometimes women will read this and call Paul a chauvinistic pig. Paul is not degrading motherhood or womanhood or anything like that. What he is saying, this is where God has told me. This is what God told me to tell you at Colossae, that you need to be all that you can be where God has placed you. Wife submits because the husband is the head of the home, and that this is God's arrangement. Don't forget that. This is God's arrangement. Sisters, you need to understand that. The Lord's arrangement for this marriage, He said she is to be a helper, and she is to be submissive. Who could say it any better than Scripture itself in Genesis 3:16? Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Did you get that? Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, nothing that is said in that text thus far, or any time actually, is degrading to you. It's simply saying, this is where God has placed you. This is where God wanted you. And if you will serve where God wants you, regardless of what your counterpart may or may not do, if you'll do what you're supposed to do, then you will be blessed eternally. It may not always be busy here. But let me tell you, many of us in here have been living with each other as man and wife for 30 and 40 and 50. I don't know if we got anybody in here 60 yet, but we've been together for quite some time. But the greatest of all relationships is when I can be with God eternally forever and ever. And how I treat Cynthia and how she treats me will determine where I'm going to be in eternity. Do we, as godly women, do we understand where God has placed us? Don't say, well, that's where David placed us. Don't say that that's where the church placed us. That's not true. You are, whether you want it or not, ladies, you are a helper to your husband, and you are to be submissive to him. Is any of that ugly? Is it not truthful? Now, Paul, when he continues to write, he then gets into the husband's responsibility, obligation, duty. And it tells us in verse 19 of Colossians 3, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. This is a universal cry. Husbands, wherever they may be, whether they be Jew or Greek or Scythian or bond or free, regardless, husbands are to love their wives. To what extent is he to love her? Paul wrote in the Ephesian letter, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He went on to say, so men ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. These passages, putting them together with what is stated in Colossians, is saying how the man ought to treat his helper, how he ought to treat his companion, how to treat his soulmate, how to treat his darling, how to treat his lover, whatever term you want to use, but still it is how he is to treat his helper. She is to be a treasure to be loved, to be cared for, and to be nourished. Go, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, if you would. I don't say this to brag, but every time I turn this passage, there's a note in my Bible that I did not place there. And I feel ashamed when I read it, but I'm thankful that it's there. No one could be a better husband to me than you. That means a lot to me. Verse 25, Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we're all members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects or reverence her husband. Again, Paul speaking to a different local church, but yet basically with the same information that is there. A woman needs to be loved, she needs to be cherished, and she needs to be nourished. I know some women deny that. If there's anything that has hurt our ladies, our women, it has been the women's movement, where they say, you can be whatever you want to be. Don't worry, you don't need a man. Let me tell you, the Scripture says that you do need one. The Scripture emphasizes that you need nourishing and that you need cherishing. And let me tell you, the prettiest woman in the world is not one with facial or body figures, but it is a woman that is loved and nourished and cherished and respected by her husband. There's beauty. And if your husband is not giving you that, then he's got a problem and he needs to work on it. Husbands, let me tell you something. If you don't show that wife of yours every day what she means to you, it's time to wake up out of your sleep and realize that the direction that you're going is totally wrong. And fellas, we've got the wrong uniform on that we need to change. We need to keep her warm, to be tender, to give her warmth, comfort, protection, and security. And the man who has the audacity, even in kidding, to say, she's my cook, she's my housekeeper, she's my companion, and she's my sex partner, she's all mine. You think that's what the lady wants to hear? Now she understands, if she's a godly woman, she understands her relationship with you. But all you can think of, mine, you will end up abusing her. And you will end up hurting her. He said, do not be bitter toward her. The problem of divorce had become rampant even during that particular period of time. And it was common among the Jews and others to divorce their wives for any cause. And that was harshness. And it's dealt with in Matthew 19. And what Paul is saying, stop treating your wife this way. Stop treating her ugly. Stop it now. You have this new array of clothing. You have this new clothing that I've given you. You are to be tender. You're to be merciful. You're to be kind. You're to be long-suffering. You're to be bearing with her, forgiving her, loving her. And it makes for the bonds of perfection. Again, what I see in a lot of relationships is this, that we'll be kind to everybody. Except, you don't have to live with him. I didn't ask you that. You'll be kind to everybody else. It probably could be just as ugly some other time to who his wife or her husband might be. But you have taken on a particular responsibility. You have said to God, in the presence of God, I do. And I will nourish her. I will cherish her. I'll care for her. And you won't hear me talking about her. I think one of the saddest things in life is when women get together and they downgrade their husbands, or when men get together and put down their wives. This is your best friend that you're talking about. She is your helper. She is your companion. He is your helper. He is your companion. And let me tell you, I don't have a lot of time. Someone wants to say to me, Well, she ain't what she's supposed to be. Well, what are you being? Isn't it interesting when you look at Christ Himself? That Christ brought the church to His feet by service and by sacrifice. And husbands, let me tell you, you can do the same thing in reference to your wife if you nourish her and cherish her and be not bitter against her. Men, let me tell you something. Your wife ought to be better because you are her husband. Did you hear what I said? Your wife ought to be better because you are her husband. Our problem is, both in reference to male and female, the past generations have done a lousy job in teaching our young people what it means to be married. And most of our young people are unprepared for marriage. And the reason that they're unprepared for marriage is because the husbands have not been leaders. They have not led their families. I love my father with all my heart, but one of his failures was he was not a leader. He had 9 kids. He did nothing to lead us in any proper direction, spiritually or any other way. He wasn't a mean man. But his father before him hadn't taught him how to be a husband. And so what we have is generation after generation after generation of young women not knowing what it means to be a wife, a helper. And what we have sometimes mom and daddy saying to the young girl, if he don't treat you good, honey, you just come on back home to us. That's a sin. That's a sin. Yes, he should treat you better. Yes, she should treat you better. That's why it's so important that you marry Christians who have been brought up properly. That doesn't mean that they're always going to be all that they need to be. But again, I think one of the biggest problems that man will not sacrifice his time, his easy chair, his golf day, or his hunting day. Fellas, I know a lot of you are going hunting right now. The bucks and does are out there just waiting on you. If the kids don't get them all first. They're going to spook them all for you. Let me tell you. If your helper comes up and says, honey, I need this today. You know it's the last day of fishing or hunting or whatever. If your helper comes up to you and requests that you help her, put the bow down, put the rifle down, take the camouflage off, and go help your helper. Will you do it? Will you sacrifice yourself for your helper? Be you husband or wife, will you sacrifice yourself for your helper? And what God is telling us in the text, you have put off the old man. You've put on the new man in Christ. And because you put on this new man, that as a mate, we are going to make sure that our helper, male or female, that our helpers are taken care of. But keep in mind, God's rule, God's way. God says, if you want a happy home, let the man be the head, man lead, nourish and cherish that young woman. And wives, you submit to him in the fear of the Lord. And I guarantee you, you're going to have a great relationship. Your children, we'll talk about that the next time when I get back from Costa Rica. You're even going to have better children. Let me tell you, one of the reasons that a lot of parents come to me now who are older and cry is because they were not the
the mom and dad that their children needed to see. Mom and dad were too busy fighting with each other. Dad was too busy getting an occupation. Mother was too busy getting an occupation. And somebody else ended up taking care of the kids. But again, keep in mind that God brought about all of this so that we can have a good home life. Now, young'uns, we're going to look next time with what God wants you to be as young people. As you now have clothed yourself. I want you, got an assignment for the young'uns. I want you to go and read what Paul said both in Colossians and Ephesians about what you need to be. And then after you read it, I want to ask you the question. You ask yourself, am I clothed the way God intended me to be clothed? It's a good study. Well, we'll nail a peg down right there. Marriage is a serious situation. Half of the marriages in the world, if you go out to California, I think it's 70-80%, half of the marriages are failing. I've even known one fellow who had 5 wives, and he wasn't from Hollywood. And he asked me, what was wrong? I think I've told you the story before. What was wrong? What's wrong with a man who has 5 wives? He didn't know what it meant to have a wife to start with. Then he went looking for the wife in all the wrong places. If you go looking for a wife or a husband, either one, in all the wrong places, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get what you went looking for. So parents at home, train your young girls and young boys what marriage is all about so that when they get ready to look for someone, they're looking for a godly man that will help them get to heaven, or a godly woman that will help him get to heaven. Is there someone here tonight that's not a Christian? Beloved, you're lost. And you're lost not because David said it. You're lost not because, quote, the Church of Christ said it. The Church of Christ doesn't teach anything. You're lost because you're without God. Because you're without God, you're without hope. And the problem is that you're still clothed in all that ugliness of things of the world. You're still clothed over there. And as long as you're clothed in unrighteousness, you're not going to get any better. It is impossible to get better while you're clothed in unrighteousness. And the only way that you can become clothed in righteousness is by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ. Be buried with Him, having your sins washed away. Now you've clothed yourself in righteousness. Now you've clothed yourself in godliness and joy and peace and mercy and tenderness. And now you're ready to be all that you can be for every relationship that you're in. Husbands, let's look at ourselves, and wives as well. I'm not asking for a mad rush down here to the front row. For let me tell you something. If the truth was known, we could fill the front row and everything else would be empty back there, except for the youngest in reference to marriage. There's times in which all of us can be ugly. And times when we need to go to the wife and need to go to the husband and say, I'm sorry, I haven't been clothed properly. I haven't been everything I've needed to be to you. Maybe that's what you need to say tonight. Wouldn't hurt you. Wouldn't hurt me. You say, honey, I'm sorry I haven't always been to you what I need to be. But from this day forward, I'm going to be your helper. As a wife, I'll be your helper. I'll be submissive to you. As a husband, I will nourish you. I will cherish you. I will comfort you. I'll help us both so that our prayers be not hindered. I'll help us both get from here to eternity. All I want for us is to go home. And I can't go home eternally if I don't take care of this home here. It's just as plain can be. Think of it while we stand and as we sing.